Well, we greet you this morning in the name of the one that we've already sang about so many times. The precious name of Jesus, and in no other power than that that is mentioned right there by His Spirit. Not by, how's it say it, nor by might, nor by power, but by the power of the mighty Spirit of God that we would greet you this morning. You know, it's with a bit of trepidation that I stand here. But on the other hand, with a great joy that we can open the Word of God, that we can speak from the Word of God in a land that allows us to do so, with the doors wide open and the windows wide open, with no one to make us be afraid. You know, I'm not going to tell you anything new this morning, nothing new. When a minister stands up, sometimes your temptation is to come up with something new, but I don't have anything new for you. It's going to be an old story. Ages old, beyond any of our recollection, except the Bible gives us something to learn from. You know, my dad used to say some people would come to him at work and say, "Have you heard the latest?" And you know what his answer was? "I didn't know it was out yet." Exactly. You've heard that one. So I'm not telling you anything new. We have in our hands the opportunity and the precious and the powerful Word of God that every one of us, if we take that opportunity, can open it up and we can learn by it. So let that bless you this morning. You know, when Paul was in Athens, he noticed that the people there lived to hear something or to tell something new. And how many of us are any different than that? We just want to tell something new. We want to hear the newest thing. Are we any different? I don't know that we are, if we're really honest. We just like to hear new things. You know, as we sing hymns together, we can take encouragement from those hymns. We can draw strength from those hymns. We can find theology and learn about God in those hymns. We can find a calmness. Hymns speak to us in a personal way, and they speak to us in a congregational setting like we're in here today. And already the spirit of worship is upon us. We listen to these men come up here and speak, and the spirit of worship come from their voices. The spirit of worship came from your voices this morning as you stood and you sung those songs. You know, when I come in a group like this, there's a lot of people here that are students of music, and I'm not one of them. I like to sing, but I don't know all that music language and all those parts. And I would guess in a group like this, there's quite a few here like that. And if I'm the only one, you come and teach me. I'm willing to learn. So let's sing together number 19 as we enter into this little bit of worship. As we further our worship together. Number 19. And you know, we're not going to tell anything new. It's only to stir up our minds, to bring to recollection something that we may have already known or we may have already heard about. Hymn 19. Oh, come. I'm sorry.
Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in the beauty of holiness, in the beauty of holiness. Glory to the Father, abounding in mercy, be joyful, holy people, and magnify Jehovah. Oh, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah.
You know, as we sung that together, we sung about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And without those three, what would this group be this morning? The love of the Father, the precious sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf, and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that can dwell in our hearts. What would we be? You know, I said earlier, we all like new things. And I don't know, maybe in this parking lot there's a brand new car. And maybe not. But I would venture a guess that there's a new car to somebody out there, fairly new. So what makes a new car? Is it because it has 0 miles? Or because it has 100,000 miles and it became new to you? What makes a new car? You know, maybe it's a cabinet. Maybe you build furniture for a living. And you build a nice, straight, crisp piece of furniture with crisp joints and put a clear finish on it. And it goes out perfect. And it's a new piece of furniture. And you set it in somebody's house. But maybe you're that person that went to the yard sale or the rummage sale. And you brought an old rickety cabinet that the hinges were flopping and the doors were loose. And that was your new cabinet. You set it in the corner of your living room to put books in. Which one was the new cabinet? What about you young boys? Your brother got the new bike and it got handed down and handed down. And you're the third person to get that bike. But when your parents told you it was your bike, it was your new bike. Or what about you young girls? When you got that doll baby that your two older sisters had already cuddled and held, and the head was flopping around, but when it was caught, it was given to you, it was a new doll baby to you. So what? What is it that constitutes something being new? It's the point that we acquire something. The point that we acquire something, it is new to us. It becomes ours. We take ownership. New is a relative term. It's relative to that point that we took ownership. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 40. And I want to read a few verses here in Psalms chapter 40. Just the first three verses we'll read. I waited patiently on the Lord. And how many of us just do that just right? We just wait patiently on the Lord. Are you like me? You ask and you want an answer quickly. That's not how the Lord works many times. He didn't work with me like that this morning. He didn't assure me how this was all going to go. But I have confidence that through His Holy Spirit, because His Holy Spirit is here, not only with me, but with all of you, it rests in your hearts if you want Him to. And because of that, there can be some edification out of this message, in this service, in this opening. So David says, I waited patiently on the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. That's how the Lord works. Goes on verse 2, He, the Lord, brought me up out of an horrible pit. How many of us can say we were never in the pit? A horrible pit. A pit of sin, a pit of temptation, a pit of lust, a pit of anger. And you keep naming them. What is the pit you've been in? And the Lord has brought me up out of the pit, David says. Out of the miry clay. Out of the miry clay. Have you ever been stuck in the ditch where there's mud up to your axles and you can't move? That's what miry clay is. Out of the miry clay. And this is what the Lord did. He says He set His feet upon a rock and established His goings. He established His way. He established His path. He put a foundation under Him. And that's what He'll do for every one of us. That's what He has done for many of you. And if you haven't named the name of the Lord Jesus, He'll do it for you. Verse 3. Well, I just want to think about that clay a little bit. Because we are just clay. The Bible says that. And later on in Psalms, it says something like, God remembers that we are dust. He remembers that we are dust. But the problem remains for each one of us. We forget that we're dust sometimes. And you know what dust does when it sticks to itself? When we think about ourselves, and we think about ourselves, and we stick on ourselves, dust becomes mud, becomes miry clay. But Jesus Christ this morning will lift us, He'll take us out of that if we'll allow Him to. And He'll set our feet on a rock and establish our goings. In verse 3, and thinking about this new song, and where we get this new song. You know, this weekend you've been sharing in song and praise and the technical things about song, but if you're like me and you don't know all those technical things, just a song is good enough. And He hath put a new song in my mouth. He, the Lord Jesus. You know, David wrote this before Jesus was even born. But for you and I, this word is alive, this word is real. And for you and I this morning, He has put a new song in our mouth. Even praise unto God. And look at the result. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. You know, the result isn't just that we express this song from our lives, from our lips. But others are going to see it, they're going to notice it, and they're going to trust the Lord. They're going to fear the Lord. This song that we can carry in our heart, expressed from our very lives, can be one that exalts Jesus Christ. This new song that we hold in our breast, in our bosom, doesn't come. We already sang about the price. This morning, I think when Brother Daniel was up here, he mentioned something about the price in one of those songs we sang. And this song that we sang came with a price. It was born out of oppression, and it's born out of affliction. And you can look at that back there in Isaiah chapter 53. It says He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. This the beginning of this new song, not just starting there in Isaiah, but from the scriptures, from the beginning, from Genesis throughout the scripture. We can read about this song, this new song that we can carry in our breasts and in our bosom and with us everywhere we go. So this song comes with a price. It's a song that we gain whenever we recognize our need. When we recognize we're lacking, when we recognize we're in the pit and we're in the mud, it's a song that comes with a price. It's a song that comes by oppression and through affliction. Wouldn't you agree? And Jesus Christ was willing to initiate this song for us. This song was born out of the gospel, born out of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right there in the word news is the word new. And Jesus Christ brings us a new song. He puts a new song in our breasts. He allows us to carry that new song to those we meet with diligence, with courage, to go onward. We can say, yes, Lord, You're my Savior. Yes, Lord, we want to trust in You. And yes, Lord, You are my peace. You are my shield. And yes, Lord, You're my all in all. Can't we say that? Does our song express that to others? That yes, Lord, You are King of kings and Lord of lords, the everlasting Father. Psalm 96. The first three verses again we'll read. And this is what we do with our new song. We learned there in Psalm 40 where we gain this new song, where we pick it up. Who taught us the new song? Who gave us the new song? And now we're going to see here what we're to do with it. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. The invitation is to every person who has breath in their being, to all the earth. And you can read about times where it talks about the mountains singing and the trees singing and the oceans and so on. And so out of that, this singing has a figurative connotation, but a literal connotation for every one of us, doesn't it? Sing unto the Lord all the earth. And it goes on and says, sing unto the Lord. And this is the three things that it says. Bless his name. We sing unto the Lord. We sing this new song that comes from our being unto the Lord to bless his name. What other name would we want to exalt? What other name would we want to bless this morning other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? The one who paid the price to give us this song and to make this song. It goes on and says, To show forth his salvation. We sing this song, showing forth the salvation. First, it said, God has saved me. And expressing that salvation to others that are outside, those who are in the world around us, those who we acquaint ourselves with from time to time. But it doesn't stop there. It says from day to day. We don't get done doing this thing. We don't get done singing this song. It's a daily task. It's a daily opportunity. It's a daily responsibility for every one of us. And it goes on and it says, declare his glory among the heathen, among his wonders among all people. Declare the glory of God Almighty unto the unbeliever. You know, how many of us like to use the word heathen? We just don't go around calling people heathens generally. The Bible does. But to the unbeliever, we sing this song. We express this song from our being, from our lives, from our demeanor, from our character. So out of this, we can see celebration and proclamation. Celebration and proclamation. Is that your song? Will that be your song this morning? And when you leave this place, will it be one of celebration and proclamation that Jesus Christ is come to save men from their sins? We heard a little bit about heaven a little bit ago. And saving us from sin, from eternal damnation, and taking us to a better place, to a greater place, where we can spend eternity in heaven praising God. Praising God. So what about this new song? So we get this new song. We get this new song when we find Jesus, when we become converted. And for some of us, for some of you, maybe that was at a young age, and for others it might be at an older age that the new song is picked up. So how, you remember the furniture in the car, in the bike, one was brand new and the other was old, yet it had a new flavor to it. So this word, this new song that we have today, let's think about it in a sense of being fresh. Keeping it fresh, keeping it foremost. As a brother come up here Friday evening and he opened up with a little devotion, he talked about keeping Christ preeminent, keeping Christ out front in our lives. And when we do that, this song will follow after. This song will be fresh. But when we want to sing a song about ourselves and my song and what I've done, it gets stale, it gets old quickly. And we know people like that. We all do. But continue to shine that light, continue to sing that song that comes from your breast, that comes from your being, that comes from your life, that points to Jesus Christ, because he is the author of that song. And he brings it to us. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." Back to that, keeping Christ preeminent. When Christ is preeminent, we will sing with grace. We will have grace towards others, towards unbelievers. That doesn't mean we roll over and allow sin to take over. There's a place for discipline, but discipline with grace. So with new things, with new mornings, come new opportunities, don't they? You know, I don't know what time you all got up this morning. I got up and was up early enough this morning to hear the birds singing, praising God for what they, for how they were created, for their Creator. And as the sun peeped over the mountain and it started to light the sky, the birds kind of calmed down. I didn't hear any mountains singing, and I didn't hear any trees singing, but I think they were glorifying God just as they were created. And we were called this morning to glorify Him with a song. Lamentations. You know, when Jeremiah was lamenting all the ruin of Jerusalem and everything that had happened there, right there in the middle, he found himself. Lamentations 3, verse 21, he says, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope." In the middle of all his despair, in the middle of all of our despair, in the middle of all the destruction and the discouragement that is in this world, we can find hope. He goes on and said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, he says. Jeremiah recognized that. Do we recognize that this morning? I trust that we do, because we can. We have opportunity. Every time we get up in the morning is an opportunity to recognize the mercies of God, to recognize the compassion of God, to let this song come forth from our very being and express who Jesus Christ is to us. You know, I did some math here. If you're a 10-year-old, you've had 3,650 times to wake up in a morning. 3,650 times you've had opportunity to experience the mercies of God. And I have several written down. If you're 30 years old, you've had 10,950 times to wake up in a morning and bless God. And I trust that you're singing a song in those mornings and throughout the day. And I want to encourage you that if you're 50 years old like I am, well, I'm a little more than 50 by now, that's 18,250 times you've had opportunity to rise up and sing a new song. If you're 70 years old this morning, 25,550 times. Opportunities to celebrate, opportunities to proclaim the love of Jesus Christ and how He expended it on you, and you can express it to others. Wow, so does 7,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 times of singing the same song sound like a new song? That's why I think this song is more than new. It needs to be fresh. It needs to be forefront. When Jesus Christ is preeminent in our lives, it will be a new song. And tomorrow morning when you go out, when you leave this place and you go out to your respective homes and life gets real again, you know, we've enjoyed fellowship. The bad thing about these meetings are they get over and we go back to reality. But this new song can be fresh. It can be a new song. You know, the aged people here probably would attest to the fact that the older they get. Well, let me just tell you a story. In our fellowship, we have a yearly visit And we go out and visit each member and ask the well-being. And one of the questions is, are you of the same mind as you were when you were baptized into Jesus Christ, something to that effect? Do you know what the older people want to say? They say yes, but they say no. It's better than that. This song is new. This song is real to them. Because they've heard the message and they've heard the music that goes with it. Are you hearing the message and are you hearing the music? You know, the Bible itself, we can read it and some people would want to say, oh, that's just an old book. It doesn't hold any relative value. It can become old and stale. But if we find ourselves in this word daily, it's alive, it's new, it fits today. We are called to live and serve the present day that we live in. We can't live 100 years ago. We can't even live yesterday. We have this moment to live. And this is where we're going to serve. And this is where we're going to sing our song. You know, was it Esther that said, who knoweth whether thou art come for the kingdom in such a time as this? We are called to serve in such a time as this. 2021, keeping a new song in our hearts and our breasts and our being. You know, I came across a little saying that was in a place of business, and some of you people might be here. It was hanging on the wall, and I took a picture of it. It says, your talent determines what you can do. And you know, there's a lot of talent here. There's a lot of talented singers here today. Your talent determines what you can do. Your motivation determines how much you can do it. Your motivation determines how much you can do it. But this is the one I really like. Your attitude determines how well you do it. Your attitude is such an integral part of this song that we sing. You know, our children used to ask us, do we have to go here? Do we have to go there? Do we have to go to worship today? Do we have to go to the carry-in dinner? And I would say, no, we don't have to. We get to. It's a privilege. We don't have to carry this song in our being. We get to carry this song. We get to carry this song out these doors into the world, into the workplace, into the school, wherever, whoever you meet, we get to carry this song. I need to wrap this up. You know, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged, because God will make a way. He promises that. Isaiah speaks about that way that he created, that he makes in a wilderness, and rivers in the desert. And already I think it was brought up here about Pennsylvania looking like an oasis compared to Texas. And maybe that's the case. But there's men and women live in both of those places. Those are just peripheral things. The important thing is our hearts. That when we get dry and we can't see our way, that we pick up this word, we talk to someone else who has this song in their heart. If it can kindle our song, to rekindle our song, allow it to do so. That God might be praised. Does my song sing salvation is of God? Does my song say that? Does your song, does this new song that you sing? Or does this song say that I'm working out my salvation by my own ways and by my own will? Not by might, not by power, not by my strength, but by the strength of the Holy Spirit. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we all have access to God's Word, either written, maybe even electronically. No lack of God's Word for us here. Maybe in the world that's lacking some places, but not here. So we have access to God. We have access to salvation through Jesus Christ. We have access. And have we given Him access to our heart? Have we all given Jesus Christ full access to our heart, that He could put that new song there, that He could keep that new song fresh, that He could keep that new song foremost in our lives? Because if we allow that to be so, we allow our heart, others to have access to our heart. When we go to our workplaces, when we go to our families, when we go to the world at large, we allow them access. We allow them a picture into our heart by this new song, don't we? So I want to leave us with this. As we lend ourselves to this new song, may it be that we can celebrate, that may it be a celebration and a proclamation of what Jesus Christ has done for us the remainder of this service and when we leave this place and we go back to our respective places. Let's sing together hymn number 100. Great is thy faithfulness. Hymn 100, taken from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, the verse that we referenced there.
Great is thy faithfulness.
You have just expressed God's faithfulness toward us. And I would commend you, and I would pray that you could be faithful to Him in your new song as you express it with your life. I'm sorry? Prayer. All right, let's all stand, and we'll have a prayer as we move forward here. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we stand before you with bowed heads, and we trust that our hearts are bowed as we pray, and we call upon your name because there's no other name that we can call upon whereby which we could be saved. Lord, I just pray your presence would continue to be with us throughout this day. I pray your presence in the heart of every man, woman, and child here, in whatever way that shows itself. Because just their presence here speaks that they're interested in you, in who you are and what you've done, and what you will do yet in the future. And we look forward to that time where we can join arm in arm in that place called heaven, laying down every difference, finding a common ground, worshiping God Almighty forever and forever. Father, I pray you would forgive each one of us of any sin that we may have committed in our lives. I pray that you would anoint us with hope and peace and a confidence knowing that you are present with us. That as we go forth in this world, that we would be a light and we would be salt. And today, as we heard this morning, that we could carry a new song in our being, a new song expressed from who we are, even using words when necessary. Father, grant us those privileges. Lord, we don't know what the future holds. And when we look too far and we think too hard, then our minds start thinking things we shouldn't. Father, help us to trust in you day by day, moment by moment, because we don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know that you do. If we can place both of our hands in your hands, and just be led, and be picked up when you need to pick us up, and walk with us, and care for us, and just hold our hearts, that we might continue to be faithful to you, because you're faithful to us, God. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.